The subject I've chosen this morning, let's see, I've been a minister now for somewhat over 25, 26, 27 years. I don't remember which now, but it's been a number of times, and I've preached hundreds of sermons. And I look back through my records as I was preparing for this, and I find that only one other time I've used this as a subject. And as I've went around through the church in my travels this last year especially, I find that there's a great interest in this subject. You know, everybody talks to me about this subject, and I find that this subject has probably more different ideas than any other subject that you can mention. And we've got a bunch of subjects within this Church of Christ that there's controversy about. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of controversy about this subject, but there's a lot of misunderstanding about it. There's a lot of miscomprehension about it. There's a lot of things about this subject that people have on their minds questions about. And I think it's because the time we live in. The time we live in is very precarious to us. You know, we look out and we see all kinds of bad things happening in the world. All kinds of bad things happening within the church. And this subject is the subject of Zion. Zion. And I'm really not going to talk about the Zion that we read about in the Old Testament. Although it's important to us, and I may even have a reference to it, it's not really the Zion that you and I are interested in. The Zion that you and I are interested in is the Zion of the latter days. The Zion that we should be looking forward to. That place of protection. That ideal situation that the Church of Christ should be in. This is the Zion that I want to talk about this morning. And you know, this thought of Zion, this concept of Zion, was with us from the beginning of this Church of Christ in the 1829-1830 era. And I'd like to read out of the Book of Commandments. In chapter 22, and this is on page 35 in our Book of Commandments, and I'm going to read two verses, verses 8 and 9. For thus saith the Lord God, Him have I inspired to move the cause of Zion in mighty power for good. And His diligence I know, and His prayers have I heard. Yea, His weeping for Zion have I seen, and I will cause that He shall mourn for her no longer. For His days of rejoicing are come into the remission of His sins, and the manifestation of My blessing upon His works. And this was given April 6, 1830, to Joseph Smith. They were looking for Zion in 1830. And then in the Book of Commandments, in chapter 48, this is on page 87, starting with the 58th verse, it reads, Wherefore I, the Lord, have said, Gather ye out from the eastern lands, assemble yourselves together, ye elders of My church. Go ye forth into the western countries, call upon the inhabitants to repent, and inasmuch as they do repent, build up churches unto Me. And with one heart and with one mind, gather up your riches that ye may purchase an inheritance, which shall be hereafter be appointed unto you, and it shall be called the New Jerusalem. A land of peace. A city of refuge, a place of safety. a place of safety for the Most High. And the glory of the Lord shall be there. The glory of the Lord. And the terror of the Lord shall come there also, insomuch that the wicked will not come to it. And it shall be called Zion. That's the place I'm looking forward to. That's the condition that I want this people to have, because God has promised us. He has promised us, if we be obedient, if we truly be His children, then He holds out to each one of us that promise of Zion. A revelation to Bishop Edward Partridge in March 1831 states that it would be necessary to save all the money that ye can to be enabled to purchase lands for an inheritance, even a city. And it goes on to say that the place is not yet to be revealed, but there be certain men appointed, and to them it shall be given to know the place. And it went on to say that they should purchase lands, lay a foundation for a city, and together with your families. 1831 in March, the church was trying to establish Zion, trying to bring together a people that under God could seek that protection and that guidance that city of Zion holds out to you and I. And at a conference in Kirkland in June of 1831, some 30 men were chosen to start west, doing missionary work on their way. And some arrived in the middle of July in 1831 at the town of Independence, Missouri. Here, that place where Joseph Smith has said that the city of Zion will be. Then W.W. Phelps preached the first sermon. And the next week, the Colesville branch was settled, and the thought of Zion had begun. In 1831, in July. And at a meeting on the second day of August in 1831, Sidney Rigdon stood in the midst. And he asked some questions. And I would like to ask these same questions to you today. And I'd like to know your answer to these questions that he asked in 1831, August the 2nd. He said, "Do you receive this land for the land of your inheritance?" And I can ask you that same question today. Do you receive this land as the land of your inheritance? And do you receive this land with thankful hearts from the Lord? All those assembled said, "We do." Then he asked, "Do you pledge yourself to keep the laws of God upon this land?" And I'm going to ask the same question to you this morning. Do you, here under the sound of my voice, pledge yourselves to keep the laws of God here upon this land, the land of your inheritance, the land of Zion. They all at that time shouted, "We do." Then he asked, "Do you pledge yourselves to see that others of your brethren who shall come hither do keep the laws of God?" Do we pledge to be our brother's keeper? Do we pledge to see that others keep the laws of God in our midst as we have pledged? They all said, "We do." Then after prayer, he said, "I now pronounce this land consecrated and dedicated to the Lord for a possession and inheritance for the saints." This land that you and I occupy has been dedicated, has been consecrated to the Lord for our inheritance as a city of Zion, as a refuge, as a place of safety. So you can see that from 1830s, this land has been an important part to the Church of Christ. Turn over with me, if you will, to the Book of Mormon. On page 37. Starting with verse 187. "And blessed are they who shall seek forth to bring to..." Excuse me, I'll start all over. "And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day." And the day he's talking about is the day that you and I live in. "For they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost." If we're seeking Zion, if we're doing all in our power, you and I, to bring forth that Zion that this Church of Christ has looked for since 1830, then the Book of Mormon says that if we're seeking with diligence, if we're seeking with love, if we're seeking with abundant faith, that we will have that gift and that power of the Holy Ghost. "And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. And whoso shall publish peace, yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be." In Isaiah, the first chapter, starting with the 24th verse, it reads, Therefore saith the Lord, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me mine adversaries, and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as the first, and thy counselors at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. We're going to have to be purged. We're going to have to purge from us those sins and those trespasses and those things that we do that are contrary to God's law, to be able to have that Zionic condition that you and I wish for. Because it says here, we have to be purged. We have to separate the dross from the tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. And Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her covenants with righteousness. And then a little further over in Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, starting with the 9th verse, it says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule over him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are young. You know, the early church wanted this, Zion. They had read these verses in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon. And they fought for this city of Zion. The early church came here in 1831. And they prospered. And they gained. And they grew. And they become a righteous people. But then Satan come among them, didn't they? Satan come among them and they divided them. And they become proud and they become haughty. And they began to be a thorn in the sides of those inhabitants of this area. And they were thrown out. They were driven out. In 1833... the saints were driven from Jackson County, Missouri because of their belief, because of their pride, because of their haughtiness. They were driven out of Jackson County, Missouri. And they made their last stand in Missouri in Davies and Caldwell County to the north. And there they suffered because of what was now called the Mormon Wars. We lost good men. We lost an apostle, David Patton, at that time, through the Mormon War. And finally, in 1838, the saints were driven entirely out of this land of Zion. Entirely out of Missouri. But that didn't stop them. That wasn't the end. They tried through the courts, through the systems of the law, to gain redress. And gain their homes and their lands back in this city of Zion. But it didn't work. And after Joseph Smith was killed in 1844... the church split into many factions. But in each of these factions, there still was that desire for Zion. Still that want of Zion. Still that remembrance. That remembrance of those promises that were made in 1830 and 31 to the saints about Zion. And since that time in 1844 until now, many, many, many people of the restoration groups have returned into the area of Independence, Missouri, seeking that Zion. Seeking that Zion. I'd like to read you something out of the Crow Creek Record. on page 24 of the Crow Creek Record, and I'm just going to read a part of a revelation that was given at a conference April 23rd and 24th of 1864 to Granville Hedrick. And it says, "Prepare, O ye people, yourself in all things." And that same thing applies to us today. Prepare ourselves for Zion. Prepare ourselves for the cause of Zion. That you may be ready to gather yourselves together upon the consecrated land which I have appointed and dedicated by my servant Joseph Smith and the first elders of my church in Jackson County, state of Missouri, for the gathering together of my saints that they might be assembled. In the day of my chastening hand, when your Lord will pour out his wrath and his indignation upon the ungodly, and inasmuch as my church and people have been driven and scattered, therefore take counsel of me, your Lord and director, who says unto you, prepare yourselves and be ready against the appointed time which I have set and prepared for you, that you may return in the year A.D. 1867, which time the Lord, by your prayers and faithfulness in all things, will open and prepare a way before you, that you may begin together at that time." And that happened. In 1867, the church under Granville Hedrick returned to Jackson County, Missouri. The first saints, the first members of the restoration groups to return to Jackson County, Missouri. To return to this land of Zion that God has prepared for you and I. So, we're here. We're here in Jackson County, Missouri. We're here in Independence, Missouri. We're waiting diligently for that Zion that was promised in 1830 and 31. I think we need to look at these questions that Sidney Rigdon asked. I think we need to look and see if we're doing ourselves any favors. Do we pledge to keep the law of God in this land? There's a place in Proverbs 5, 12, and 13 that says, "How I have hated instruction, and my heart despiseth reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me." Brothers and sisters, every Sunday morning, we're told from this pulpit the things that you and I need to do to have Zion. We're told the steps that we need to take to be able to say, we have a Zionic condition. Have we followed these things? You know, we say, why don't we have Zion? We say, why don't we build a temple? We say, why do we have sick among us? We say, why isn't the Lord working with us as He has in times past? Haven't the preachers told us? Haven't the sermons told us why we haven't got these things? Why we're not living today in a Zionic condition under the direct hand of the Lord? We're told to work for the cause of Zion. We can't protect us. We can't heal us. We can't cause miracles. We can't establish Zion. Only God can. And He will do it because He's promised us that He will establish that Zion, that physical place, if we establish the cause of Zion. Jeremiah, starting in the sixth chapter, starting the 16th verse, says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." That's why we don't have Zion today. That's why we're still looking for it. That's the reason that we're still wondering why it's not there. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Then in the 21st verse it says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me will be loved of my Father." John 15, starting with the first verse, says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Where am I going? I'm telling you that we have to put God, Jesus Christ, first in our lives. We have to recognize that He is the being, that He is the one that we need to put our trust in, the one that we need to follow, the one that we need to believe in all things. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." We have the words in the Bible. We have the words in the Book of Mormon. We have the words in Latter-day Revelation. And we should be clean through those words. If we are adhering and believing and following those words that are written within these books. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." You can do nothing, and that includes bringing forth Zion. And if we try on our own to legislate it, if we try on our own to bring it about in any manner other than the way God has established, we will fail. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." If we're abiding in God, if we're doing me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. To have Zion, we must have unity. Unity.
And I'm not talking about each one of us seeing everything just exactly the same. I'm talking about having that unity of love, wherein we have compassion one for another. And we're able to listen. And we're able to stand. And we're able to abide in each other's opinions without contention among us. Abide in His love. Abide in His unity. And that unity is founded upon looking at Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that love that Christ has for each one of us. And that Christ-like love that you and I should have for each other. We must, as the Book of Mormon says, ye must repent and become as little children, or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. So to have Zion, we must repent. And I want to see what Christ said in 3 Nephi on page 634. Starting with the 39th verse. And again I say unto you, ye must repent. And become as a little child and be baptized in my name. Or ye can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. The first thing in both of these is repentance. Changing our mind. Changing our attitude. Doing that which is right in the sight of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my doctrine. And whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But most importantly, to have the cause of Zion, we must have love. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And every time and I read that, it sends chills up my back. Thinking of the terrible, awesome responsibility that puts upon us to be called the sons of God. What a responsibility. What a privilege. What a place. Sons of God. First John. Starting in the fourth chapter of First John, starting with the 7th verse, it says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because He gave His Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And this is the unity. This is the unity that you and I need to unite under. The unity of love. And that unity of love will lead us to Zion. Will lead us to the cause of Zion. So what am I saying that we need to establish that Zion that the early church was looking for? Matthew 6:33 says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we're seeking peace, first seek God. If we're seeking love, first seek God. If we're seeking Zion, first seek God. Whatever is the desire of your heart this morning, if you will first seek God and His righteousness, it will be added unto you, a promise from God. Whether there's trials, tribulations, worries, whatever, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. One last scripture. 1 Peter. Third chapter, starting with the 8th verse. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be courteous. Be pitiful. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto them and to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer with meekness and fear to every man that asketh of you a reason for the hope that is in you. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conduct in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. We're going to have to get down on your knees to ask for that cause of Zion. And if you're truly looking for Zion, if you're truly looking for that condition that I've talked about here this morning, get down on your knees. Ask God to show you and I what we need to do to further the cause of that Zionic condition that they were looking for from 1830 until now. And I'm going to close with a prayer by Helen Steiner Rice, and it's called, This Is My Prayer. Bless us, Heavenly Father. Forgive our erring ways. Grant us strength to serve Thee. Put purpose in our days. Give us understanding enough to make us kind, so we may judge all people with our heart and not our mind. And teach us to be patient in everything we do, content to trust your wisdom and to follow after you. And help us when we falter, and hear us when we pray, and receive us in thy kingdom to dwell with thee someday. This is my prayer that I faithfully say, to help me to meet the new dawning day. For I could never meet life's daily demands unless I was sure He was holding my hand. And priceless indeed would be my reward to know that You shared my prayer to the Lord. Thank you very much.